Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome back to this week's episode of Mental Acumen here on Freedomizer Radio.
Hello, hello, everyone.
My name is Christy Rose.
Hi, Christy. Oh, my name. My name is Donald.
Oh, my goodness. Thanks for joining us again. We're here every Monday at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. We started this show back in May of last year, so
yeah.
We are so close to our one-year episode here.
We're getting pumped.
Right? It's been fun. And we talk about health matters, mental health matters, and whatever matters to you. We want to encourage you to visit and follow our website, mentalacumenradio.com. And you can also listen to our older episodes on freedomizerradio.com or on the podcast.
True.
And stop by and rate and review us on the podcast and make sure and mention Mental Acumen Radio by name. And we want to encourage you to share with your friends and family. You can call us when we're live on air.
Yes.
319-527-6208 and press number 1. We want to also encourage you to think globally and act locally.
True.
We do this by supporting our local small businesses and our local farms. We have a weekly grocery delivery of vegetables that comes right to the doorstep thanks to COVID. And
no, it's not thanks to COVID.
That's the only reason they do delivery.
Well, I know, but that's kind of putting it in the wrong light. It's like they were thinking outside the box at Miller Farms,
mm-hmm.
despite the COVID.
Okay,
we'll go with that. Winning.
But it does save us some trips, I suppose, to the local farmer's market, even though we love those as well.
It is a bit of a strange sort of paradox, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we want to be healthy, but don't go outside. Eat your vegetables indoors. Just stay the F indoors, people.
And I still offer health coaching. I'm a trained health coach. I went to school at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and I'm working on my second bachelor's in health innovation and entrepreneurship at Arizona State University.
Uh-huh.
And you can visit my website at coachchristy.com. I do practice bioindividuality, so I don't try to put people in a box or diagnose or treat illnesses or anything like that, but just to kind of talk through and work through some of the health hurdles that come across our health journeys as we're trying to get well and be our best selves and live our best lives.
Tough sell sometimes, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because the struggle is real. Because even as a health coach, I still struggle, so I am in the same shoes.
Mm. Yeah, and especially whenever you get reminded from time to time of how fragile we are and
mm-hmm.
You know,
we're human and we're not getting younger.
Our neighbor across the way from us here was brought home from the hospital because he's just, a horrible story. You know, he went to the hospital after a fall.
On Valentine's Day of this year.
Right. And broke a couple of bones and. While in the hospital, they, no wonder you broke all these bones. Your bones are super brittle because of your cancer.
Yep, yes, the blood cancer.
And, I mean, it just kind of all came unwound pretty quick for him. I mean, he was the neighbor that stood across the way there and basically did his, like, Hank Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Right, stand outside by his garage and
keep
drink a beer.
Keep the kids safe, keep people from stealing stuff because when there's eyeballs, then it, you know. Keeps your neighborhood safer, so
totally, totally.
We'll miss him whenever he's not out and about. He's, I guess, you know, staying homebound and that kind of stuff for now. Hopefully
yeah.
He's doing okay. But
I hope so, but we will see.
Right. So, Donald, what's new and good with you this week?
New and good with me. I'm just going to go with a with the old tried and true. I'm just thankful for my health. Somebody very close to me came down with either a foodborne illness or a bug, and I'm thankful that, you know, I didn't get that one, you know. It's nice to have faith in our immune systems from time to time and have those attaboys, you know, kind of come up from time to time to let you know that, hey, you're doing something good. But I will say that my vegetable palooza kind of came to a boiling point this last weekend. I was like, man, you know, I don't know what I'm missing out on. And that manifested itself as, you know, I will say that everything on my menu there was organic, the meat, the beans, and these gluten-free tortillas that we found. Beef and bean burritos. I was like, I want something that it's like kind of like eating garbagey, but not really garbagey, and that's where I landed, was on beef and bean burritos.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so fantastic. My daughter showed up this weekend, and I said, hey, how do you feel about a burrito? So we had burritos, and, you know, I'm coming full circle from that, and now I'm back to making a big pile of vegetables. Tonight I am cooking butter chicken, which is a Indian kind of dish, and it's just chock full of sweet potatoes, turnips, yellow potatoes, a.k.a. what, golden potatoes, right, and sweet onions. I'm really excited to eat it after we do our show today. So, but that's about it. I'm not going to rant. I've got plenty of stuff to rant about, but I'm not going to rant. We're going to save that for maybe when we get through this series, I'll save them all up and we'll just have like Donnie COVID rant part one, part two.
Rantapalooza?
Yeah. You know, because the stuff that comes across my newsfeed just, I've gotten to where I just, push away. Just don't need it right now. We'll do that later, you know. But, yeah, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to rant. But kick it back around to you. What's new and good with you, Christy Rose?
Well, I didn't die.
Yay!
I've had a really rough week, and so I'm glad that Donald didn't have a rough week because mine started out.
Well, I didn't out you. You didn't have to say it was you that had the.
I know. But I got some kind of sickness.
Vicious bug.
My stomach was so torn up, and it kind of made me realize, too, that my immune system has taken such a beating because surgery and then pain pills to combat the pain right after the surgery, and I'm still in that healing process, plus not going anywhere. I'm not out exposed to all the people and the things.
But you have to be, you know, put it in a positive light,
mm-hmm.
and say, you are a 40-year-old asthmatic,
mm-hmm.
living through a, I'm scare quoting here, a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst thing that you can say is that, well, you know, I think I ate something bad the other day, or I don't know, I got some sort of bug. So I still maintain it's because one of them cats probably slept on your face whenever you were asleep or something, but we'll maybe get a fact-finding commission to get to the bottom of that, you know, source.
Okay, well, I think it just hit me while I was down because I already had, like, some stress and a lot of things going on because I've mentioned how much stuff that I'm working on that I'm wrapping up. I think I have one reflection paper in one of my classes, but did my final for one of my classes. I have two projects, one that's due today that I've been working on as best I can, and one more project. So hopefully by next show I'll be done with this session of school, which will be a relief. But I also, too, I had just graduated. Last Monday was my last PT visit. I saw the surgeon. So after in between that, I was supposed to see the surgeon on Thursday, and so Wednesday night we went out and we took a little walk after I got done working. He got done working. There was still daylight. Took a little walk, and I had a nasty spill. Like, I'm talking bruises.
I wasn't going to bring that up because I kind of blamed myself a little bit because I'm like, did I make her walk too far? Was it too much?
And I don't blame anybody because I know it's just part of my foot doesn't always cooperate. And if I don't pay attention to it, it's getting really upsetting because I feel like you shouldn't have to pay 100% attention to all of your limbs at all times in that you have to really hone in. Because if I don't, I will trip and fall at any doctor's office, any place that has carpet. But anyway, trying not to rant about that. But I get so frustrated with my foot when it doesn't work, which is why I don't drive. So I'm keeping people safe, I suppose, because I can't keep myself safe.
Oh, wait. We have a very strict no virtue signaling on the radio show, ma'am. You cannot say the term, I'm out there keeping people safe, okay? That's,
well, I'm not out there killing people.
Strike that from the record, Your Honor.
There's that.
Okay.
But anyway, so after I fell and I was all beat and bruised, I was having some trouble getting out of bed for a couple of days. Then I got a tummy bug to go with it where I was miserable, like no sleep, kind of miserable and just miserable. Yeah, could have slept in the bathroom, I suppose. And just miserable. But again, it was my days off. I didn't schedule any work for those couple of days. And so I was just like, let's let it ride. Just let it ride. I've been trying to eat gentle stuff for my tummy. I did eat a few bites of the burrito, but I haven't been eating a whole lot. Just
that
trying
was,
to
that
combat
was literally that. You're welcome back to solid food. And I'm like, I'm sorry about your tummy, but I'm going to have some burritos. You know, do what you got to do, man.
So I'm still hanging in there with all that, trying to finish my school stuff, but between not feeling good and just a lot of stress, all of those things combined, canceled all my appointments. The surgeon signed me up for more PT, so it's a whirlwind, but I'm going to make it through. It'll be better by the next show that we have for sure.
For sure.
Making some progress.
You know, you got...
Gotta have some hurdles.
You got some scabs on your palms. You got a dinger on your knee, you know.
But
it's worse. You could have face planted, you know.
Also true. That would have hurt way worse. Because, even just owies in the shower kind of like, you go, ow, those hurt a little bit for a lot. But I'm feeling a little bit better today. I'll get some more soup in my belly and see what happens. And
you must have a wonderful person around that'll cook you
little
mild foods here and there,
right?
A little toast.
Because I was so tired and exhausted, I couldn't even get into the kitchen to make something for myself. It was a rough few days, but I'm on the mend, working on it. Take a day off and enjoy the day a little bit this afternoon after the show. And okay, I think that's about it.
Well, I will just add on a real positive here, and it's kind of in the same thread as what you're saying. I had a great day yesterday. It's snowing outside right now, of course. You know, we have this thing about it snowing right before our shows or right after or during the shows here recently, but yesterday was beautiful, and me and my daughter, she went out, and she was out on her longboard, and I was out on my bicycle, and we were going to go to the park here close to our house, and I said, no, let's ride over here to another park. I want to go for a little bit of a ride, right? So we went over to another park, and we got out there and played Frisbee, and... I had one of those old guy moments where I'm not even going to, like, pretend like I'm quick or nimble at all anymore or anything like that, right? But it was one of those throws with a Frisbee where it was floating. And I'm like, oh, I got this. And I'm running. And it's in a sense, I was running. And I, like, went up for it. And then whenever I landed on this one leg, and I was like, I'm not going to do that again. Because I thought about that video that I showed you of the comedian Tom Segura, whenever they were having the slam dunk contest. And it wasn't a bad thing whenever basically his knee gave out. So when tendon and ligaments go out, right, it's usually not a real painful sort of thing, right? When you land and then break your other bones from those things going out, that's what's painful. Whenever he did it, he, like, tried to catch himself and broke his arm so badly. And that was just what flashed in my mind as I was skying, or I was leaping for the Frisbee toss there. And I came down that... On that one thing, and my knee was like, oh, you haven't done that in a while. I wouldn't try that again there, big guy. The call is coming from inside the house, I tell you. But anyway, I just wanted to share that little story. Like I said, it was in the same thread of you dirt diving the other night, but
be careful out there, everyone. It's a dangerous world we live in.
The struggle is real, right?
Especially as you get a little bit older, if you're not able to, like, maintain your muscle mass or whatever, you may pay the price.
Christy was in that mode this week. I'm like, yeah, if you were a show pony, I would take you out back and shot you by now.
It was miserable. So miserable.
Between you falling down and then having a tummy bug, I'm like, well, she's had a full life. I reckon we'll just dig a hole now.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't fun. I don't recommend it as a weekend time for sure. Pass that one right on by.
Well, let's talk about what we're going to be talking about today. So we've been doing a couple of weeks now talking about, you know, that we were kind of spurred on by this whenever spring rolled in on us. And we want to talk about changing, right? And so we started a little series called Changes and Changing. And we did a little intro work on it. And then last week we started talking about physical health, right? And all that entails with dieting and, you know, exercise, physical health, and, you know, we also talked a lot about the impetus for change. What are these things nagging inside of your head that, you know, told you to get your fat butt off the couch and get out and change yourself? And this week we wanted to talk about kind of a sensitive sort of subject, but we're going to tackle it anyway, and that's mental health changes and all of that entails. Because, you know, people have awakenings all the time throughout their lives, you know. There's the one that comes to mind is whenever you're a kid and you come to that realization that your parents are not invincible and or find out that they're not all-knowing, right? That's a mental awakening. You have a lot of changes that start to happen in your growth as a human being, whenever these types of things happen. And we're going to talk about, you know, some therapies, some behavioral type of issues, and do you want to play some fun time ads before we get rolling here?
They're not all fun, but we'll see what we've got.
That way I can grab me a drink of water, and we'll get to rolling.
Okay, we'll be back in a few.
Thank you, everybody. We'll be back.
Hello, my name is Donald, and I'm here with Mental Acumen Radio. I'm here at our nation's capital, and it's January the 6th, and the democratic process is on full display in the halls of Congress and out here on the street. As many people have come to have their voices heard, and redress some grievances to their government. Excuse me, miss. May I ask you some questions?
Yeah, I'm here to stand up for my children and their children's children. Trump was an immaculate president, and I believe God sent him here to rescue us from the commie party that hates our country today.
Oh, wow, really?
Totally. I think Donald Biden and Carmelo will start World War III and hold in the Bible. And when they're not at Illuminati parties with Beyonce and Jay-Z, they'll be killing businesses like my grandma's cake shop because of coronas.
Wow. Seriously?
Yeah. And cue the prophet, like, sent to warn us about the baby eating and the pee drinking.
Oh, my. Yeah, that might be a psyop.
If we don't take back our rights given to us by George Washington and Samuel Jackson, then we're going to be just like the Hunger Games. But I'm no tribute, and I can't whistle.
Wow. So I guess you're like a constitutionalist then.
No, I'm totally a Republican.
Wow.
Yeah, but we have some questions.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you for your time, ma'am.
Thanks for opening the door.
Oh, God help us all. Yeah, this is Donald with Mental Acumen Radio, reminding you all once again that the revolution starts between your ears.
Do you like talking about health matters? Are you sick and tired of feeling sick and tired?
Why are you talking in that tone? What's with your voice?
Well, I was watching a bunch of conspiracy videos on YouTube, and they sound more ominous and compelling when the voices are, like, really low and scary.
You're ridiculous.
No, seriously. Check it out. Do you like vegetables? Are you presently living gluten-free? Are you a member of a secret society?
That'll do.
Are you in the Illuminati? Are you a Jesuit?
Really?
Do you vacation at Bohemian Grove?
Come on, man! Join us Mondays here at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time for Mental Acumen with Donald and Christy Rose here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Do you need male enhancements? Do you need iodine? Do you want some colloidal silver? Order now while supplies last.
Hello, my name is Christy Rose, and I'm the co-host of Mental Acumen here on Freedomizer Radio. I was trained as a health coach at the world's largest nutrition school, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. I want to support you on your journey to a healthy mind-body connection. I believe the healthcare system is broken, and we need to play an active role in improving our health. We need to take a proactive approach to wellness. If you've struggled to lose weight or to maintain your weight, please consider reaching out to me because I was trained to look at people as individuals and to address the whole body and mind at once. Our bodies are more intelligent than our minds, and they try to scream for help in ways such as depression, acne, and fatigue. I can help you using natural holistic methods to get to the root issues and decrease or eliminate symptoms. I offer a free initial health history consultation, so please visit my website for more information or to schedule an appointment at CoachChristie.com. That's CoachChristie.com.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wireizer. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Hey everyone, Proof here. Just wanted to ask you guys, are you guys tired of all the mask ordinances that are passing all over the place with people telling you that you're not allowed to buy and sell unless you have a piece of fabric over your face? Well, we sure are tired of it. Please check out realbarefaceislegal.org and help us get together to fight these mask ordinances. You can also find Bareface is Legal on Facebook, either as a group or a business page. Anyway, help us fight back against these stupid mask mandates. RealBareFaceIsLegal.org.
Welcome back.
I'm sorry, I just never will get tired of those awesome January 6th ads.
That's fine. We can keep playing them.
They're just... Not sure who wrote those masterpieces, but they need a raise. Okay. Mental health and how it pertains to change and changing yourself. That's a very broad topic, isn't it?
Yes. But we'll cover some things that, you know, at times it gets personal, at times it's just our background knowledge and our opinions on stuff. But, yeah, we'll just touch on a little bit because it's just springtime is a good time for change. And diving into some of these deeper topics is kind of important.
Well, I think we've always said that we don't know everything. And hence that's why we named our show Mental Acumen. Was because we're on the journey together, and if anything, maybe we will, you know, provoke some thought.
Mm-hmm.
We may make you stop and think about some stuff. So, mental illness, right? It's very prevalent in our society today. And how much would you say of the, you know, mental illnesses out there is a genetic type of thing versus a societal type of thing? Because, I mean, I think it's been proven that, you know, schizophrenia, for one, you know, it's like one of those things that some people are just born with. And it doesn't always, you know, like people don't always just come out of the womb that way. You know, they have like some, you know, hormonal shifts. Sometimes people hit the puberty. Sometimes people hit later on in life and stuff like this. But what do you think? How much of it is like a genetic type thing and how much of it is like societal factors?
I think it's such a mix. It's hard to say either one. And I do subscribe to... that, and I've heard this more than one place, and it definitely wasn't part of my religious upbringing, but that trauma and oppression and things like this carry through four generations. And I've just heard that several places, and I kind of feel like that's true in that we're carrying some type of burden when we're born. Maybe not something we have to pay for or something that, you know, that we get to choose we want to work through, but something that it kind of weighs heavy on our heart and our mind, and it could be mental illness. It could be something that leaves us susceptible to mental illness, depending on our environment. And there's so much damage that can be done by neglectful parenting and these kind of things that maybe we don't even do on purpose. Because I know, I've never met a perfect parent in my whole life. I mean, they're all good, and people have good intentions, but nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just not how people are. We're all imperfect creatures, and we're learning, and especially the younger you have children. I was in that club of having children younger. The less you know, the less experience you have, the less life experience you have, and they're just going to do things differently. Whereas an older generation person having a child, they may do things differently, but that doesn't make them good or bad. It just makes them different. And so I think there's so much that goes along with how you're raised and the environment that you're subjected to. And that may not even be the fault of your parents. It could be some bullying in school. It could be, a trusted adult takes advantage of you or something like this, or another family member that's not in your household. And all of these things can really kind of, I don't know, break that barrier and cause that mental illness to really shine through, even if it's just right there on the surface. Because we're all born innocent creatures, and not that I think any kids ever do anything wrong on, you know, because they're not able to, but that things can happen to them. So I don't know that we're born with it, but I think we're born susceptible to it.
And it's such a, you know, an interesting thing as we continue to learn the generational, you know, mental illnesses. Sometimes, you know, I mean, recently, you and I was talking about this, about how a lot of this, not a lot, how sometimes this has to do with people's, you know, genetic makeup, right? And, but it's more because we don't understand how the gut works,
mm-hmm.
and that there will be a father, and then a child, and then another child, and they're all just racked with depression. And only now that we are, you know, running into the 21st century, is it starting to become a little bit more mainstream about mapping your gut biome and food allergies and food sensitivities and how they affect, you know, because we say things like, I mean, you say a lot, things about mind-body connection.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that hits people's ears and they just think, oh, boy, it's more that hippy-dippy woo-woo type of ideology. Well, that is a real-time, real-world sort of, you know, thing that is applicable to that type of woo-woo type of expression. I mean, we read Jordan Peterson's book, and I think, you know, I was talking about how his daughter, she had, like, a lot of health issues when growing up, and she had this condition where it was a degenerative disease, and it was affecting her joints and everything else, and she had to have, like, a hip replacement at a really young age, and Jordan Peterson was, like, racked with depression, like the kind that he says, where he would just lay in bed in the fetal position for days at a time. And I'm like, wow, I've never experienced that. I mean, I've had, you know, people die in my life where I'm depressed and upset and, you know, grieving, this type of thing, but never like just an unexplainable type of feeling of dread like that. And he has been mitigating this with the carnivore diet. It just sounds so outlandish, you know, that him and his daughter have been eating like really rich, like flank steak, skirt steak, elk, bison, this type of thing, I believe, to help mitigate some of these health issues. And that's way beyond my pay grade. You know, I'm like, wow, that's crazy. It's a sad commentary, though, on our health, you know, health, quote, health care system, that this is not, that whenever we hear stories like this, that mainstream doctors and the health care professionals don't say, huh, bring me the information that you have so I can look at that, please. So I can incorporate that into my... No, that's not how it works, is it?
No, they say that's just a one-off chance. It just only happened to you, or there's no connection. You know, there's no correlation or causation or anything like that. And another big one with the kids is the ADHD, because they realize, and some of the moms are advocating for this, there are so many chemicals in so many foods that children are eating,
yes.
And combining with the technology that so many children are exposed to, they have trouble concentrating. It doesn't make them bad or different or anything. It's just they're normal kids trying to adapt to their environment, and they're not meant to sit still and be told what to do.
I will say that, you know, this is a very sensitive subject with me. And
all mental health is sensitive.
But I'll say on, you know, a very personal note that about 5 years ago, whenever I got divorced, that this was a major schism between myself and my ex, was your mind-body connection and how it pertains to what you're putting in your body.
Mm-hmm. Your mental health is a result of what you eat.
The garbage in, garbage out type of
mm-hmm.
thinking. And it was very evident with my daughter, in that she, as a toddler and you know, right up until the time that she started school, was not really hip to crappy food, right? And shortly after I got divorced, you know, her world got a little bit bigger. You know, she got introduced to some other people, and just, hey, you ever had this? You ever had one of these or one of those? And, you know, things change. And there for a while, it was a vicious, vicious sort of cycle of her going, you know, to her mother's house and eating a certain way, and coming back to my house and eating a certain way. And, yeah, it's upsetting. It really is. And how that, you know, played into her mental acuity and everything else, yeah, was totally on display. Now, I will say that my daughter is cut out a lot like I am, in that she can pay attention to things that she wants to give her attention to, but she got a pretty big rebellious streak in her, and going to school just doesn't interest her really. She likes it, you know, she likes it in the aspect that social bit, I think. Beyond that, not really that interested in it. I was the same way right up until I was let out of high school. Couldn't wait for that last bell to ring so I could get out of that place.
There's a lot of kids that are like that.
Yeah. But, you know, circle back around to what we were talking about, though. The ADD, ADHD with all the chemical processing of foods, and I shudder at the aspect of this becoming accelerated with this plant-based type of garbage that's being rolled out right now.
But I don't know if kids subscribe to that plant-based stuff, and the ADHD affects the children the worst. This is more talking like Skittles, the colors in Skittles.
Well, yeah.
Color in Kraft mac and cheese. The things that are bright and beautiful, the cereal, every single cereal, because they have, like, you know, yellow Lake 24 and red dye number 7.
Well, but
and
yeah,
all those kind
of things. But the fake blood that they put in that plant-based meat was not FDA approved. They just kind of, oh, sure, throw it in there. And, yeah, that's a brightener that makes it look like real meat or whatever. But, yeah, I'm just saying that I hope that this, you know, this plus that doesn't make this, you know, accelerated, you know. Because we got enough zombies out there right now. And, yeah, the food, that they just continue to roll out. Like, hey, look what we made.
Mm-hmm.
Plant-based. Whoppers.
And the science is in. They know those combinations to light up our brain with the salt and the sugar and the fat and the different things. I mean, because there is nothing nutritious in things like ramen noodles or Skittles or Kraft mac and cheese. There's nothing good for you. But we look at it as like, oh, it's a comfort food or it's a luxury. I can afford that. I can do that. Or kids like, ooh, bright, shiny colors. The cereal aisle is a good one. Just because it says has added vitamins and minerals does not mean there's anything good for you, especially not for breakfast.
Yes. And let's bring it back to our mental health on that one, and that, you know, the habits that are formed, you know, whenever we're young. And it's really sad because I'm out there a lot, and I see these kids, and it reminds me of how I was, you know, whenever I was younger. And in my family, you know, it was no holds barred. You know, if you were an overweight female, you didn't get ridiculed or anything, right? If you're a fat male, yeah. If you couldn't, you know, get onto a horse, you're too fat. If you couldn't, you know, run 20 yards without stopping and passing out and puking or something, you were too fat. And it was this idea of probably amongst a lot of our people in our culture, it was tough love.
Mm-hmm.
You want these kids to have a mental toughness, right? It was always said the world is a big, you know, shit show. And if you don't do something to toughen your kids up,
whether they're fat or gay
or whatever,
sissy like, or just whatever labels they used to give us when we were younger, or shy or meek or any of these kind of things, yeah.
And, you know, it's a bit of a fine line between preparing your children, you know, because it's like, remember us talking about the story of Lenore Skenazy? Lenore Skenazy runs the website Free Range Children. And there's a story that she tells, and it's in her book as well, whenever her son was nine years old. They're on the subway in New York, right? Which, to me and you, at this age, if we got on a subway, we'd be like, this is a scary place. I've never been on one of these before. This is a scary place. I'm sure I would, right? But she's with her son, who's nine, on a subway, and they're having a discussion. And she says, do you think you could find your way home from here? They were in Queens or Brooklyn or whatever, right? And son says, yeah, no problem. She goes, okay, show me. And he bolts and leaves him on a New York subway. What do you think the fallout was from that? People were like, oh, my God, that's child abuse, you know? It is a fine line sometimes between toughening your kids up. Kids are very resilient creatures, right?
Some of them are. Some of them now are, like, I think we're living outside of reality. With the heads in the screens and things like that, it's going to make them less resilient, unfortunately, because they're not exposed to all these challenges that we would have in a daily life. I mean, you've got an Uber on your phone there, so you could just call an Uber. I know if I was young and I missed the bus and I had to walk home, it was 2-something miles away from, and that's a long way, whereas now kids are like, oh, I'm 7. Let me get me an Uber.
Or they just text mom, and mom gets an Uber.
See, there's the struggle is not real like it used to be, so it's difficult to, I hope that they're as resilient, but I wonder if they're not handicapped.
Like we were talking about in Benjamin Franklin's autobiography, when he was 13, he sailed on a clipper ship by himself from New York Harbor down to Delaware, Rhode Island, or something. I forget exactly where, but it was a day or two journey on a ship by himself. And like, really? Well, because he had a job waiting on him down there and all this sort of stuff. Yeah. Times do change, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that mental toughness aspect, I understand. And the bullying aspect is one of those sort of gray areas sometimes, you know. We've talked about it before, like it was like cyberbullying. Things like this, you know, you talk to a kid in the 80s about, you know, cyberbullying or something, and they're like, what? That doesn't make any sense. I don't even get that.
I don't care what's on a screen.
Yeah,
that doesn't hurt my feelings.
That's like writing down words on a piece of paper. It's like, hey, look, butthole or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, another example is like in our culture with there's inevitably a bunch of people in your family that'll say, well, I never could swim until that one day they threw me off the boat pier. They threw me off the boat. They said, all right, sink or swim. Right? And then I eventually learned how I could swim. But there's also this handful of times where the kid says, I almost drowned. They had to jump in and save me because I just sunk like a rock to the bottom. and I had to pump my stomach or something like this, right? Well, that's you know, that fine line there of with just about by anybody's, you know, guesstimation, fall into the category of a childhood trauma,
mm-hmm.
right? The people that you trusted the most threw you in the water and you almost died.
And that can leave you with some scars. Some mental illness can really stem from something as simple as and not meaning to harm somebody. I mean, they think of it as a very innocent thing most of the time. Like, oh, they're just going to learn how to swim. Get out of your comfort zone.
Right.
That's how we learn to do a lot of things, is just get out of our comfort zone.
Well, but that's just it about with most of the childhood traumas, is that majority of them, I mean, yeah, people have accidents, you know, there's been traumatic things like that, but the recurring childhood trauma type things and stories that you hear about are usually when they come from the authority figure, the trusted person, the parent, the uncle, the grandparents, the teachers, and this type of thing. You agree with that?
I think the majority, yes. Unfortunately, there's a lot that don't, too, from a sibling or other
things. Most definitely, like, you know, like sexual traumas and the abuse and these types of things, you know, it's these poor kids that are stuck in a house, their parents beat the crap out of them. You know.
Or they fight in front of them all the time, or threaten each other's lives, or
yeah.
don't feed them, or
yeah.
lock doors, or leave
yes.
them home alone for weeks on end. There's all kind of things that can cause some trauma and some lasting mental illness and insecurity. We all deserve to feel secure when we're young humans and incapable of completely taking care of ourselves.
Yes. And it's a real... As the father of a female, it's such a hard judgment making sort of process, especially when we're getting into the teenage years of a shelter, you know, because that's what every parent faces is. How much is it sheltering? Am I sheltering too much? Because, I don't know, maybe this is a perception issue as people get older. As you get older and you start to really nurture your own poison worldview. I'll give you an example. Like, we were talking about how the old people, you know, that you see at Walmart that are just scared to death. You know, they really don't want to be out and about right now because they really believe that the COVID bug is going to jump down their mask or whatever, you know. Well, that's kind of what I'm talking about there, is that as you get older, and I don't know if you just become more fearful or if the things that you've seen and heard start to really impact you more. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's an accumulation of the life experience, because as we get older, your mental bank, your mental model of bad things has expanded, because now you realize how many bad things there are in the world. When you're in your 20s and you're like, oh, well, there may have been this one kid that committed suicide, or there may have been this one kid that did this, that, or the other thing. But as you're into your 80s, you're like, well, I know 57 people that committed suicide in my lifetime that were close in my circle, and I know 10 murders, and, you know, there's all kind of, oh, no, Susie didn't recover from the flu, and so now I'm scared of all illnesses. And it just kind of builds and expounds, and because fear is the greatest tool. It's hard to overcome that when you're getting more fragile and less independent, more dependent on other people. And just like we already know, I mean, if we fall and break a hip or something, we're half the problem.
Yeah.
Whereas 10 years ago wouldn't be as big of a deal. It's more of a problem the older you get. You don't recover as quickly from the illnesses, and even a cold may take you out. you're more likely at that time, as you know, a 60, 80-year-old person to have accumulated some chronic illnesses, unfortunately. Because, again, I mean, we've talked about it where, like, what is it, 1 in 4 have a chronic illness, or I don't know, the numbers, I forget, I looked at them the one time, but the numbers are not good. It's the majority of us now at this point have a chronic illness, especially over the age of like 40 or 50.
And yeah, but older, you know, people, they, I think that, you know, I don't know. It's such a hard thing for me to
think. Well, you've got to think, too, how the circle of life works in that when you're really young, you're dependent on somebody, and then you get your independence, and then at some point that starts declining and you're more dependent. And so you go from this childlike state and, again, back to more a childlike state where you're more susceptible to what you're being told in the media. So, yes, they were strong and virile and, like, they were so on top of the news and the actual news, actual what was going on and happenings in their neighborhood. But now maybe they're homebound, or maybe they're, you know, they're not working anymore. Their friend circle is small, and so they're only seeing what's on the news.
Yeah.
And information has a lot to do with it, how much different places you get your information from.
That's a good point. And people may have been a lot happier back in the day whenever they only read a newspaper every week, you know?
Because now if you look at any news or any newspaper or any, like, I get the little news updates a lot of times on my phone, and I'm so tuned into what's actually going on in my life a lot of times that I don't even look at it unless I just, is really a shocking news story, like a, I don't know, a little kid gets shot or something like this. But if you're an older person and you've set up these news alerts because you want to know what's going on in your neighborhood because you're not out and about, then every single one is depressing. I rarely ever see a good one.
Yeah. It bleeds, it leads, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But.
And that's got to really take a toll on your mental health as an older adult to only get fed the bad stuff. And maybe you're not able to go on vacations. Maybe you're not able to see family. Or maybe your family is telling you to be scared.
Let's talk a little bit about therapy if we can. Therapies. Because I think we all know and have known plenty of people that, you know, without it sounding like a, this is actually like a little bit of a thing that people in my daughter's demographic, they all say to each other, you need to get some therapy, you know. But we've all known a handful of people like this, you know, that they've been living with something. And I know I've got a good handful of people in my family that, you know, from time to time, they'd be sitting around visiting, and a little piece of the puzzle, or a little piece of information kind of bubbles out. You're like, what? I didn't know that. Is that real? Oh, my God. I had no idea, right?
Especially as people get a little bit older and they're not hiding secrets as much anymore.
Yeah.
Or they've already come to terms with it on their own, but it's just like, it seems like it's in passing where it may be shocking to you.
And, you know, historically, if you read up about, you know, some of the stuff that went on in previous centuries, you know, if somebody was having a family crisis, right, where they were in one of these type of familial situations where it was, you know, physical abuse, sexual abuse, mental abuse, all of the above, and they didn't have enough, you know, fortitude to withstand it, to make it out of the childhood. I mean, what was waiting for them was, you know, an insane asylum or a sanitarium, and I mean, those places were just scary hellholes back in the day.
Because there was no treatment for it.
Right.
There was shock therapies and torture devices.
Okay, but that came a little bit later.
There was no talk therapies and prescription medications and herbal mixtures and.
Right. And, you know, sanitariums basically just, you know, throughout the ages kind of morphed into what was then called the state hospitals and state facilities. And either one, very scary, you know. Either one of those places were not exactly a place where one would probably want to find themselves. And it kind of, I can imagine, you know, back in the, you know, 1800s leading into the 1900s, that if you had some mental illness, like, you know, we read that book, A Gentle Madness. Remember this book? And it talked about some of the leaders and, you know, famous people throughout history.
I feel like the name was different, but, yeah, I think it had madness in it. Madness Masterminds or, I don't know, something.
It was a brief history of madness, a gentle madness.
I don't know.
All right. Yeah, 'cause I talked with my brother about this book, too, but anyway.
Right.
But, you know, back in the day, like, you know, they didn't touch on it too much, but it was well known that, you know, Mary Todd Lincoln was manic depressive. You know, she had some issues. And a lot of the people that, you know, we call war heroes during the Civil War, They pretty much had some psychopathy going. Just full blown, you know, there was the chapter about William Tecumseh Sherman,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, basically how he came about with the idea of the scorched earth policy. It's really startling. Really, really crazy stuff. But, the undiagnosed, you know, childhood traumas that must have been just so prevalent back in those days, you know? And whenever you juxtapose it with what you were saying about it lasting through four generations.
A first-rate madness? Was that it?
A first-rate madness. Thank you.
Okay.
What did I say? A gentle madness?
Yeah. But it, yeah.
I was
similar.
Close.
I knew it had madness in
there. Yeah.
Very good book, though.
It really was. But, you know, even within that, you know, they had a lot of the people, like, you know, the story, the chapter that they talked about Hitler, right? And what can really go off the rails whenever there is a misdiagnosis like that,
mm-hmm.
right? And you call it misdiagnosis or whatever, but, you know, they're getting the wrong drugs. And we see a lot of this, you know, and it kind of ties in with what we're talking about with therapies, right? Because I like the term therapist versus doctor,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, the psychologist and psychiatrist, you know, they always carry the term doctor. I like the term therapist. And I sincerely believe in talk therapy and talking things through, because that's something that I think I've learned most definitely about myself is, you know, we've said it many times on the show that we are creatures of language, and the word is how we communicate, be it with ourselves, right, or to one another. And the emotions that we tie in with these things, you know, they eventually have to be explored, right? And I've shared a little bit about some of the introspective, you know, work that I had to do before I was going to be able to make any change in my life. And the major hurdle was the mental health one, right? The mental status that I had. And the major mental health status, and it, I think this applies a lot from people that are fat to people that are abused or what have you, that they see themselves in a certain light. And they absolutely, I absolutely could not make a change until I first gave myself, you know, enough latitude, you know, to get over that. Stop defining yourself in this way. Sometimes it'll take someone helping you, right? And it's someone just maybe looking at you and say, well, you're not really like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone will ask you the question, why do you think you're that? Do you really want to be that? These types of questions. And, you know, if people have had, you know, childhood traumas shoved onto them and they've been carrying that crap around for a long, long time, yeah, I imagine that's going to stick, right? It's going to make them define themselves in this way, right? And I mean, we watch lots of, you know, things about this sort of subject that, you know, people will carry these things with them, and sometimes they'll get to a certain point in their life, and if they see themselves in a certain light, right, like I'm a piece of crap, therefore I will always be a piece of crap. Well, they don't always see themselves doing things to fulfill that prophecy, right? I've known people like this in my life, very close to me. I've had people very close to me like this, to where when things would start to get good in their life, they would have to do something to submarine themselves to fulfill that prophecy of them being a piece of crap.
Because they hadn't done the mental work.
Basically.
The therapy. Because it is very therapeutic to talk these things out. And, of course, yes, it is probably easier with someone else, and it may be easier with a stranger. It may be easier with a paid professional. I know to some degree I have some training for some talk therapy type of skills with my health coaching, because that is how you decide what your health goals are, is to talk them out. But if it's like childhood traumas and mental illness, that may be better left to a professional. Otherwise, you may not get adequate advice. And you may not get the therapy and the other treatment options available, because there are a plethora of treatment options that I had no idea existed until slowly throughout my years. And I discovered little bits here and there, the EMDR, the eye movement, whatever that therapy is called, the CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, the DBT, the dialectic behavioral therapy. I mean, there's a plethora of type of therapies that don't involve any medication necessarily, unless you need medication. I'm all about destigmatizing mental illness and seeking the help that you need for yourself, whether that means the Band-Aid of medication, or that means a permanent solution in medication, or if that means talk therapy or any other form of therapy, as long as it's not harmful to you. Because, again, we as adults, we get to choose. As children, they don't have as many choices, but they still need access to that help, to that therapy. And advocating for children is another very important one. I was a victim of childhood trauma, and I don't feel like I had a proper adult advocate to help me out, and so I cannot stress that enough. Even if you're not the parent, if you're the aunt, the uncle, the big brother, big sister, the cousin, whomever, if you know about a child that needs some advocacy, just be a listening ear or someone to help them out, hold their hand as they go find the treatments that they need. That's so, so, so important, because those traumas can be overcome, and you can live a fulfilling, successful, healthy, happy life. But you kind of need an advocate from time to time, especially when you're unable to voice things for yourself. And I think we all have some degree of mental illness at some point. We've all experienced almost some kind of trauma, whether it's somebody saying mean words to you in the bullying form as a teenager, as you're transitioning into an adult, or whether it's, you know, you felt stupid because your teachers always told you that and you couldn't pass school, but that just because you don't pass doesn't mean you're not smart. I mean, we've talked about some of those things, but there's so many things that just automatically classify you as mental illness or give you a random diagnosis. Instead, why don't you just focus on the person, get the treatments that you need, and be able to move on with a productive life at any point in your life. I don't care if you're 100 years old and you're like, oh, I've always struggled with this. It's not too late to get some help, I think. I think it's important to reach out. There's crisis hotlines everywhere if that's something that you need. There's hospitalizations. There's still mental health hospitals and facilities. There's inpatient, outpatient, teletherapy, all kinds of solutions that are available, covered by insurance or self-pay or sometimes government-funded programs or non-for-profit programs. I know we have some of those in our area, too.
And this ties in what you're saying a little bit about a subject that I kind of wanted to touch on, though. And that is a very strange thing that's, you know, happening more and more. It's been going on for, you know, at least 30 years, maybe more. We'll say closer maybe to 40 or 50 years. And it's just what I've heard termed, you know, pathologizing behavior, right? Or pathologizing the human condition. I listen to School Sucks podcast a lot. I've been with him ever since it started, pretty much. And he had done a lot of talking about this subject as it pertains to children, because they are the easiest targets of this type of market.
Right.
Because in his case, he was working at a like a reform school or something, and that was one of his duties, he said, was doling out all the prescriptions to these troubled children. And the pathologizing of what seems like normal child behavior, you know, it's just unbelievable these days. Unbelievable. I was talking with a child, whatever you call a school psychologist. I had one in my Uber the other day, and she told me the term, and it escapes me now, the trauma that children have suffered from because of the COVID-19 pandemic. They've already got
the isolation one or something like that?
It's an all-encompassing mm-hmm. type of one, right? Be it from isolation to the fear of the death, to the fear of losing the parent or grandparent, you know, and the masking, it was crazy. And I said, I'm shocked when she told me this. And I said, are you kidding me? I said, they've already pathologized this type thing? She goes, oh, yeah. I said, like, she was proud, right? And for the record, she was wearing two masks. Dumbfounded. This is a pretty intelligent person. Pretty intelligent person.
Again,
had a great conversation with her.
Again, when you say intelligence, and I used to just broad brush that, but now as I'm studying, I realize it's in a scope, in a subject.
Sure.
Within your
sure.
scope, you may be very intelligent, but that does sure. not mean you have the life skills.
Agreed. Agreed. And I'll say it like this. Whenever I say that a person is intelligent, that's me saying this person can think, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they want to think. Right?
Again, still general, because just because you can recite what you're supposed to recite to pass your test, does that mean you can think?
Right.
Or does that mean you can
memorize things
and recite them?
Regurgitate?
Yeah.
Parrot, you can parrot the narrative.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair. I'll accept that. But this pathologizing behavior, right? This is one of these sort of things, you know, going back to what we were talking about with, you know, the tough love,
mm-hmm.
mental toughness, right? Would it be a good case study to look back in time, right? And think about the time period that people were coming out of after the Spanish, the most ghastly war known to humans, World War I, right? Now, the Civil War in this country was just disgusting with the bayonets and, you know, the upfront and up-close fighting, that type of thing. Horrific. World War I, oh, man, we had, like, tanks, right? The submarines. We had some very efficient ways of killing people by that point, right? The machine guns were in full effect. And my goodness, the mustard gas and the chlorine gas, I mean, it was on, right? It was just a bloodbath on a scale that Alexander the Great could have only dreamed of, right? So coming out of that, right, out of World War I, and then a seriously bad pandemic with the Spanish flu, right? And what the, you know, children must have, you know, been like, because the 20s, for all intents and purposes, they call them like the Roaring 20s or whatever, it was a very short-lived one, right? Because if you were from my part of the world, you had the Dust Bowl and then the Great Depression right on the heels of that. And, you know, looking at it now, 8 to 10 years is not that long of a time, you know? And if you were to say it was, we'll say 10 years from 1918 to 1928, and what it must have been to be a 10-year-old person coming out of that to being 20 years old, whenever the Great Depression was coming up on you.
That's why I worry. I mean, like, I get it. I'm a little bit older. Maybe I should be a little bit scared of colds and flus and things like this. But my fear is for all of these quote-unquote precautions that we've taken between the social distance and the triple, quadruple mask or whatever, and the don't talk to anybody, don't gather with people that aren't in your same household, what that's doing to the kids. That's still, I keep going back to that. I'm like, when you talk about that stuff, I'm like, well, what are we doing to our kids today?
And, you know, we talked about this, you know, before, but how it seems like a lot of times in the pharmaceutical industry, they have this drug, and this is what it'll do. Maybe it'll do this. I don't know, you know.
Most of the cures are found by accident.
Yeah, and
the side effects.
And then it's like right behind the announcement of this drug is the rollout, right? The unveiling, the marketing of it. And all of a sudden, you know, you will eventually talk to somebody like, oh, yeah, I'm on, you know, Probacin because, you know, I have restless leg syndrome. Really? A lot of things like that where you never even really knew that it was a thing until you saw the drug for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in relation to the COVID world that we've been living in, right? It's almost like, I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on again real quick, okay? But it's almost like they had this drug, and then they needed a good marketing thing for it. And then, so they could roll it out, because the pandemic that we just talked about, right, the Spanish flu that came out after the World War, given, perfect storm. That was literally a perfect storm for a virus, right? Got started rolling in the European theater, kind of came out of the Orient, right? They were involved in the war as well, but it got rolling in the European theater. because of the living conditions, right? These people were like living in trenches with the rats and the typhoid and all sorts of craziness. And their hospitals and triage things were just like disgusting places, you know, where it just reeked of death. It was a good breeding ground.
People didn't really wash their hands back then.
No, not so much. And then it was like, okay, and war's over. And everybody just took it back home. So, yeah, it was a perfect storm for it, given. You know, kind of juxtapose that, you know, with the COVID world that we live in today. It was like we got this drug sitting here. It's this experimental mRNA vaccine that we've been working on for a while now. We can't get it to work. We need to do some human trials. We can emergency use it, maybe, and the, well, nobody would probably take it, would they? Oh, sure they will.
Well, you know how a lot of times when there's a drug that goes to market too fast, and then 5-10 years later we see it on the commercials, and it's like,
if you've been injured.
Yeah.
Call us now at Dewey, Cheatham, and Howell.
Just throwing that out there.
That's so funny because I heard somebody say that the other day. It was like, oh, no, you just wait. The ambulance chasers and strong arms, though, they will be. Have you been injured by the COVID vaccine? Call me. The strong arms.
And I don't know. It sounds like people go through really a rigorous process whenever they're deciding which company to go with when it comes to this, because the forms that they fill out, people post them on Facebook, otherwise I wouldn't know. Besides, it has like their name and all this stuff, and there's some check boxes for the different brands, and so they check the brand that they chose to go with so they know which booster shot to get. And I'm like,
That's so weird.
Never seen anything like that in my life,
because I was driving down a highway the other day, and there was a big vaccination drive-through thing that was set up at this place close to us here, and on their little light-up sign it said that the Johnson & Johnson appointments have been canceled, but the Pfizer ones are to come in here now. And crazy stuff. But we have a pretty good history going now of pathologizing some behaviors. You know, it's not the good behavior, of course, you know.
The good behaviors are studied less. I learned that in my positive psychology.
Like the OCD, right? Everybody's got the heard of the OCD.
Well, that one's still considered negative because it can be over the top and harmful to people if it's, you know, like you have to do certain many things and all this kind of stuff. But like the positive psychology and the psychology behind happiness is less studied. And so there's a lot less material out there for it, which is interesting but frustrating as well. Everybody wants to find the wrong and nitpick. But, too, you can always change your story, which is something that you kind of did that we just don't talk about too terrible much. Like with the health coaching, that's one of the tools is, like, first you define and, like, write out your story. This is what I am. This is how I think I am. But then you go back and you're like, wait a minute. I am not fat and ugly and stupid. I'm beautiful and healthy and my body's miraculous and all of these kind of things to rewrite your story, because it's a physical, you sometimes have to write it on the pen and paper, type it in the computer, and then retell your story to yourself to actually change it. It's crazy how that stuff works, but also in the talk therapy, that's another tool that you can use. And our mental health is important.
Great. And do you have any talking points on yours that you'd like to hear? We're getting close to the end here.
Yeah, mine seem more basic than yours because I did mention abuse and triggers, and that when we do suffer from mental illness, we can be triggered. Doesn't necessarily mean by seeing our abusers but some similar situations. It could even be a fragrance. You know, there's so many things that are so powerful that we kind of don't realize unless it's something that you study. I know with my hotline training, they said if you do have to respond to help someone, that you need to make sure you're not wearing perfume or scented oils even and this kind of stuff, because in therapies and very traumatic instances when somebody has been abused or something horrible has happened. Even a smell can just trigger them and light them up, or, you know, a certain word. It's so bizarre and frustrating that you can't filter everything. So we need to empower ourselves to learn what our triggers are so that we can regulate our emotions a little bit better. And this comes with some therapy. It comes with talking, trusted support system. All of that's important. And our support system evolves as we get older. Because, of course, when you're very young and you're a child, maybe it's your parents, maybe it's your siblings, maybe it's your grandparents. And then as you get a little bit older, you've got a few more people, and then you've got to remember to get those toxic people out of your life, which is a very difficult thing to do. I don't know about you, but I know I've been in plenty of toxic relationships, plenty of toxic environments, whether that be work or a long-term relationship or a long-term friendship, where you don't feel like it's a mutual relationship where it's not benefiting both people. And that can be kind of frustrating, and it can trigger you, and it can leave you feeling less than, and nobody deserves to feel less than. So yeah, your support system needs to evolve, and you learn and grow.
What do you think about the hormonal shifts that we undergo whenever we get older, and how that affects, you know, you talk about triggers and stuff. What do you think about, like, the hormonal changes and shifts that we undergo whenever we get older, and how it affects a person's mental health?
Well, all of our hormones change as
sure.
we age.
Sure.
And they change for women every single month even. And so you've got this double whammy. And so, and then you get these floods of emotions. You know, a big new life change happens, a new relationship, a new child, a death in the family. All of these things can really affect your whole immune system, your hormones, your mental outlook, your mental health, all of this stuff. And I think it's important to pay attention to those and to address those. And again, go back to your tools, your therapy, your support system, all of your tools that you have, all your resources available to you, whether it's a short-term or a long-term situation.
Because, I don't know, maybe it's like the how your taste change. You know, they say that your palate, your taste and stuff will change pretty significantly about every 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And your outlook, your how you are viewing yourself, your inner world, your outer world, and everything like that, I think that those things tend to shift a little bit as well.
And they can shift both in a healing sort of way, but also in a negative way, depending on how empowered you feel and how much you're trying to overcome those hurdles as you age, whether it be family or stress or the traumas that you never healed and this kind of stuff, because those things can be open wounds if you let them fester.
Yes. Yeah, and that's, you know, something that you said before is that if you see, you know, you said about, you know, with children, be that ear. And sometimes that's all some of them need,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's just across the board, be it from little kids or all the way up to grandmas, you know, it's shocking or not, and sometimes really sad that there is a lot of different people that, quote, volunteer, and that's all they do is just go to old folks' homes and sit around.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be company with
and
them.
And what's bad is a lot of that got squashed because of COVID. That you can't go to nursing homes, you can't have visitors in nursing homes, and I can't even imagine how the older people are handling that. If you have no family and friends that can visit you, no volunteers that can stop by, no emotional support pets, I know that was a thing too, and activities and stuff that people can't. I saw some upsetting posts about some nursing homes are saying that if everybody gets vaccinated, then they can resume the activities and the eating in the same room and this stuff. Otherwise, nursing homes have been serving
people.
It's almost
like this is repeating in this.
Right. That nursing homes have been serving people their breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the room, prohibiting them from doing activities, even in apartment-type situations that are supposed to be independent living with the social atmosphere. Those have all been squashed. I didn't realize that until pretty recently. And it's upsetting. People, even older people, especially older people, they have nothing else to do. They need to socialize with other like-minded people, play games and have fun and go to the pool and eat dinner and talk to somebody. There's no reason to isolate everyone.
Well, there's a lot of people in my family that it'd be one of those sort of things that if a nursing facility or whatever said, sorry, you can't, they'd be like, you going to stop me? I'm going to come in there on Wednesday, and I'm going to pull my mom out of this room, and there's nothing you're going to do about it.
I wonder if some of that didn't happen.
I
don't know.
It did. But there's a lot of grandmas and aunties and whatnot that got taken out of those long-term care facilities. Mom,
which
mom,
might be a good thing.
You're coming back to stay with us. This kind
of which thing. Might be a good thing, because there are a lot of people that didn't have the time before COVID, before working at home, to really care for their elders. And that's something that's really important. The elders need somebody to care for them, too.
Absolutely. You got anything else on you want to finish up with?
Nope, I think I'm good.
All right. Age awareness and hormonal changes and how they affect mental health. That was good. That was my last thing on my talking points as well.
So take care of your mental health. It's really important. Take stock in where you are in your journey. Acknowledge if you need some help. It's okay to reach out for help. Reaching out for help does not mean you're a victim. It means you're empowered and you're brave, and it's important. It's important for yourself. It's important for your family and for your loved ones to take good care of yourself. You can't be there for other people if you don't fill your cup.
I like what you said right there. Just because you reach out doesn't necessarily mean you're a victim.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. I'm gonna put that one in my quiver and shoot that arrow one of these days.
Good.
Okay.
Because a lot of times I think you take my words and you put them back to me.
Well, you are pretty forgetful of your old age, I will say that.
You're forgetful.
Oh.
Well, stay tuned for Proof. He'll be up next, and we will see you guys again next week. It was fun, and we enjoyed it for sure.
Very, very therapeutic for us today, wasn't it?
I agree.
Thank you very much, everybody. Y'all take care. Have a great week. See you back here next week. All right.
It's going to be a good Monday next week.
No
Sometimes
more.
You can manifest things that way.
No more snow.
Mm-hmm.